There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable: look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Before I get in the sermon, I want to elaborate on what Wendy said about my driver's license. I found last Friday, I went to look at a phone contract, I looked for a new phone, and I found out they had been expired 3 months. But, you know, like you said, I know everybody in this room at Sanctuary looks at their driver's license every other day, don't we, like that? So it taught me a lesson: don't neglect your driver's license. And also, I had my first visitor to my house the other day, talking about my front porch. I went out with my coffee, and I was sitting on the front porch, and I looked down, and there was a 3-foot black snake lying there on the ground looking at me. Good morning, parson, you know. So anyway, so I've had a good welcome here, and I'm enjoying it out in the countryside there and all that. You're probably saying this passage of Scripture is most doom and gloom and gruesome, and really it's very dismal for this time of year. You don't expect a thing, and it's basically a second coming passage in regard to that, you know. But there's something I found out about the Scripture. There may on the surface be something that you say, well, that's repulsive. But you look a little closer and there's hidden gems there. Christ always put hope in all the words that he said. Even the times when he may have sounded harsh, there's always hope for us. Today, most of us, we've moved on from the turkey and dressing mentality, that is, of Thanksgiving, and are now thinking about Christmas, both good or bad. Yet beneath the holiday cheer is a combination of stress and spiritual anger that this season inevitably uncovers, which can motivate us to attain some wonderful achievements. Sometimes people get depressed during the summer. Sometimes they go on a spending spree. That's how they facilitate and filter out their hurt and their anger, is they spend and max out their credit cards. I think that's the main thing. I've only had one experience where I was really depressed on Christmas, and when I was in seminary, I was an associate at a church, and the minister decided to go to Georgia for Christmas, and he said, I want you to preach. It'll be Christmas Day. And so I was at seminary. I was one of the few people left on campus. And talking about Christmas night, and I sat there with my Christmas tree flickering, watching the Waltons doing the homecoming. You know, there's nothing like the Waltons. And I sat there, and I got the biggest set of blues I've ever had in my life. So I understand now why you can't get the blues on Christmas at times. But Christ always had an antidote for all things. And I saw it, was reading recently, and I don't remember the periodical I was reading about, but there was an interesting example of how you can do things around this time that will make you take your mind off whatever it is that's maybe bothering you about Christmas. Morris and Elizabeth Sanders are Presbyterian missionaries in Israel, where they quietly minister to a small a group of Arab Christians on the West Bank. Amidst the violence, these missionaries offer love, compassion, and hope to the people in this hostile region. One Christmas several years ago, they got their heads together, both of them did, and decided to make the impossible possible. With the strict security and close monitoring of Palestinians, traveling to the holy Christian shrines from the West Bank has become almost impossible. However, Morris borrowed a car, yes, from the Roman Catholics. He borrowed some flashlights from the Episcopalians. And I forget what he borrowed from the Methodists, but anyway, it was an ecumenical endeavor driving through security guards into Jerusalem to get some passes. And he drove through, and he was stopped by security guards. He had guns pointing at him and everything. But when they found out he was an American, they let him go on through. But I'd say having a gun pointing at you probably didn't do you much. I mean, probably gave you the shakes anyway. But so Morris drove to the office of the Patriarch of the Greek Orthodox Church of Jerusalem, and he received at least 600 passes so the people in the West Bank could go over and visit the important shrines and holy places that had been forbidden because they would have had to go through all kinds of red tape and all types of difficulties to get there. But arriving back after this hair-raising drive, he was greeted by a large, vivacious crowd who joyfully distributed those passes to their fellow Arab Christians, and they went to Presbyterian, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Orthodox churches, and their Arab Christians, and they distributed those passes so those people could have a really, truly Merry Christmas. In essence and in summary, and I think these missionaries, the Sanders, said something like this, that the good news is that hope is always stronger than despair. Don't ever allow anyone to tell you you can't have hope. Keep hope kindled within you. Keep it stoked. Guess what? It will work that way. That is one of the most important things you can maintain, even during times when it's difficult to celebrate anything. This is why the alternative world of the church, yes, we are in an alternative world of the church because we speak different languages, believe it or not, than those in the secular world out there. But at the same time, during this Advent season, we can find it so comforting to be able to do so in that regard. During Advent, we are reminded of why we are followers of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we tend to forget it, get a little bit of selected amnesia. But we do, it will bring up the idea that, hey, I'm a believer and follower of Jesus Christ. Because there's a spiritual transformation of our faith that is made possible by retelling of this old story made of our Savior's birth 2,000 years ago. It seems to make tough times a little softer. Basically, these Bible verses that I was read here tells us, yes, bad things may happen to good people, but God will see us through the miseries of it all. Remember that book by Rabbi Kushner, I was, When Bad Things Happen to Good People? That's a classic, and it's very, very true. Hale Boggs was assistant majority leader of the United States House of Representatives. In 1972, his plane disappeared in Alaska. He was on helping a fellow congressman win a re-election, and the plane disappeared, and it was never found again. His wife was left a widow. Actually, they didn't know when to declare him dead, but they convinced her that she should step in and take his seat in a special election. Well, Lindy Boggs of New Orleans succeeded Hale and served with distinction from 1973 to 1991. Lindy was born on a large sugar plantation, attended convent school, and later Newcomb College, which is now part of Tulane University. Renowned for her elegant manners and refined charm with a southern accent, sweet as sugar cane, this resident of the French Quarter was loved by all in Washington and New Orleans. Senator Jesse Helms of North Carolina, who was sparse on giving many compliments in his day, but said this to Lindy one time, "Why is a nice girl like you in this septic tank called Washington?" Lindy persevered through good times and bad. The greatest oxymoron to this plantation-born Lindy Claiborne Barnes that she represented the only overwhelmingly African-American majority district in Congress. In 1990, her eldest daughter, Barbara, died of cancer. In fact, Lindy was stepping down so she could spend more time with her. She said, "You can't wrap your arms around your daughter if you're sitting in the House of Representatives." But unfortunately, she died before her retirement became a reality. As with her husband's death, she faced this tragedy with a lot of gumption and courage. Lindy was burdened with life-shattering losses. I mean, most of us would be paralyzed, but she developed a positive attitude, an alternative to remain stable instead of having a continual pity party like some people do. It was by reaching out and helping others to cope with their needs and hurts which brought healing to Lindy herself. Yes, when you reach out and you help others, you're going to forget about a lot of problems because you know what? You're going to see that most people have probably situations and problems far worse than you have. So Lindy did that. The real motivation and reason she offered, which preserved her sanity, was a deeply devout religious faith in God. In fact, she was so devout that in 1997, President Bill Clinton appointed her as the first woman ambassador to the Vatican. Lindy died in 2013 at the age of 97 at another daughter's home. It was a life belt in order to be there for others. She would be called out of bed many nights, even at her Bourbon Street home, to somebody needed help, even getting them out of jail. Lindy never felt like that she had to hang her hat on the coat right and say, "Well, I'm finished for the day." She really was someone that is to be admired. And it was a life well lived. Incidentally, you know who that other daughter is? Well, she's well-known ABC and NPR news journalist, Cokie Roberts. So when you see Cokie Roberts on TV or here on the radio, that's Ms. Lindy Boggs' daughter. Christ tells us that we won't escape the traumas of our world. Now, we may, some of us, lead a charmed life, but still, yet we're going to have good times, we're going to have bad. Even when bad things do happen to good people, including us, we have the hope and conviction that God is in charge and God is still in control. I was discussing a matter similar to this a few weeks ago, and I said, I don't see how anyone can be an atheist. Because when you're facing something, it's always comforting to know God is there with you. God is with the atheist, but they don't recognize God. But it's comforting to know, because I would lose my mind if I didn't have God in my life. So those bad things happen, but hey, we know good things will happen too. Because as believers, we are the ones who are called to share God's love, compassion, mercy, and hope to our world. Christ. The faith we carry is God's promise fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. Today, Christians around the world light this first candle in a four-week journey through the season of Advent. We are called to wait for God's promise to be fulfilled, rejoicing in the small wonders and simple graces of these uncertain days. Are you bothered when you read the newspaper, look on the internet, or see the news? Well, you know what? It'll happen. But you also know this too. God's going to take care of it. God will take care of you. Keep that in mind during this Advent as a reminder that in Bethlehem was the hope of the world born, and that hope is still with us today. May your Yuletide faith express hope centered upon Jesus Christ this season. So if you don't know the reason for the birth of Jesus Christ, perhaps it is time to do so. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, during this year, season of Advent, we are struck by the many things that we encounter. We are inspired by the generosity of people, the love that is expressed. But Lord, let us not remember the rest of the year, and as we begin 2019, that we can have this attitude year-round. Help us keep that, what we would call seasonal grace, with us all year-round. And when we are delayed on something or distracted by somebody or some event, let us remember that there is a reason for everything, and you are in that reason. Help us, O God, every moment that we live, through the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen.